Indeed. It is time once again for another edition of Rockin' the Boat right here on Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3 FM, 91.3 FM in Olympia, Washington, 87.9 FM Mojo Radio in Point Arena, California, 87.9 FM in Seattle, Washington on Post World Radio, and www.freakradio.org. My name's the V-Man, and coming up on today's program, we're going to be discussing the animal liberation movement. I'll be speaking with Kevin Jonas, spokesperson for SHAC, Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty, based in New Jersey. We'll be discussing SHAC's campaign to close down Huntington Life Sciences, as well as the recent alleged bombing by animal rights quote-unquote extremists up in Emeryville, California, but that's coming right up after this week's Radio Spin with Laura Miller. Stand by, stay tuned. Rockin' the Boat's coming up straight ahead here on Freak Radio Santa Cruz 96.3. And first up tonight, of course, is the weekly Radio Spin from PR Watch. In this week's edition, the White House pressured the EPA to lie about the dangers of World Trade Center fallout. Pacific Lumber paints itself green, and a federal judge throws out Fox News' lawsuit against Al Franken's new book, The Weekly Radio Spin with Laura Miller.
With this week's edition of the Radio Weekly Spin, I'm Laura Miller. Nearly 2 years after the collapse of the World Trade Center, the Environmental Protection Agency's Inspector General reports that the failure of EPA officials to properly inform New Yorkers of the dangers of the fallout can be traced to inside the White House. New York Daily News' Juan Gonzalez writes, "The news that White House staff ordered the EPA to minimize potential health dangers near Ground Zero was bad enough, but the details in the 165-page report about how the EPA lied to the public and even subverted its own safety standards in the process are chilling. The original draft of a September 13, 2001 EPA press release, for example, stated, quote, "Even at low levels, EPA considers asbestos hazardous in this situation." Staff members at the White House Council on Environmental Quality turned those words upside down. The revised report stated, quote, "short-term, low-level exposure to asbestos of the type that might have been produced by the collapse of the World Trade Center buildings is unlikely to cause significant health effects." Gonzalez told Democracy Now! That the man in charge of the White House Council on Environmental Quality, James Conaton, prior to his June 2001 White House appointment, earned his living as a lawyer defending asbestos-polluting companies and other industrial polluters. The San Jose Mercury News reports, Pacific Lumber, the Northern California redwood logging giant whose clear cuts have made it among the most vilified companies in the West by environmental groups over the past 15 years, is getting a makeover. Famous for enduring tree-sitting protesters, threatening to chop down ancient Headwaters Forest, and facing constant lawsuits, Pacific Lumber has unveiled a new rebranding campaign to repaint its image green. The company, now known as Palco, has a new green logo, revamped website, and newspaper ads featuring loggers replanting trees. But critics still laugh at Palco being environmentally friendly. "If Palco's green, I'm Princess Diana," Kathy Bailey, a Sierra Club logging activist in Mendocino County, told the Mercury News. Eric Desenhall, president of the crisis communications firm Nichols Desenhall, told the Mercury News, "These kinds of campaigns usually succeed in making employees feel better, but the public knows oil companies drill oil and timber companies chop wood. I haven't in 20 years found campaigns to appease one's attackers to be that effective." A federal judge has ruled against Fox News in its lawsuit attempting to suppress publication of liberal satirist Al Franken's book, Lies in the Lying Liars Who Tell Them a Fair and Balanced Look at the Right. Franken's book rose to the top of the Amazon.com's bestseller list after Fox filed the suit in which it claims that the title of the book infringes upon its trademark slogan, Fair and Balanced. According to Peter Ames Carlin, Fox commentator Bill O'Reilly is still lying about one of the lies that Franken exposes in his book, in which O'Reilly falsely claimed to have received a prestigious Peabody Award for journalism. Carlin writes, O'Reilly had nothing to do with the award. He should take responsibility for claiming otherwise. Instead, he's attacking Al Franken and trying to bully me into changing the record for him. Paul Holmes writes in PR Week, the suit is rich in irony, from the fact that Fox News can trademark a phrase so unrelated to its true agenda, it's as if Larry Flint had trademarked the phrase tasteful and modest, to the fact that O'Reilly can accuse anyone of launching gratuitous personal attacks, to the fact that right-wing Fox, which is opposed to frivolous lawsuits, would itself launch one of the most frivolous in living memory. For these stories and more, visit PR Watch's website at www.prwatch.org.
And we thank PR Watch and Laura Miller for this week's Radio Spin. My name's the V-Man, and you're tuned in to Rockin' the Boat here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. In the early hours of Thursday, August 28th, two pipe bombs exploded the Emeryville offices of a biotech company called Chiron. A group calling itself Revolutionary Cells took responsibility, saying in a communique distributed over the internet, quote, that the action occurred because Chiron has continued their murderous connection with Huntington Life Sciences, even though they have been exposed numerous times as some of the most egregious animal killers in the industry. Huntington Life Sciences is Europe's largest contract animal testing laboratory. They operate two facilities in Great Britain and one in New Jersey. It is estimated that about 500 animals are used in experiments at HLS labs each day. Chiron employees have been targeted by animal rights activists in recent days due to the company's ongoing relationship with HLS. One animal rights group, Shack USA, or Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty, has been constant with its campaign against HLS, issued a statement about the blasts, saying the group does not support terrorism. Joining me today on Rockin' the Boat to discuss this and other news is Kevin Jonas, who is a spokesperson for Shack USA, and I welcome you to the program, Kevin.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
I definitely want to get into a broader discussion about some of the tactics used in the various animal rights struggles. But first, maybe it would be good for our listeners if we could just kind of review exactly what is going on at Huntington Life Sciences. Maybe you can give us a little more of a broader picture about what goes on there.
Sure. Huntington Life Sciences is a contract research organization, a CRO. It's a lab, which is a company with two labs in England and one over here in America. And what it does is other companies like Monsanto, Chiron, Procter & Gamble, Johnson & Johnson, they will outsource a lot of their animal testing work to companies like Huntington to test their drugs, their dental hygiene products, their tanning lotions, their fake sugars. Any product that they need to have tested, they'll go to Huntington, and Huntington will test it on beagle dogs, monkeys, cats, rabbits, birds, mice, fish. You name it, Huntington will test the product on any animal. The reason Huntington's being targeted out of all the vivisection labs in the world is because five times people have gone into this place wearing secret hidden cameras. They've filmed workers inside punching four-month-old dogs in the face, cutting open primates while they're still alive, falsifying research data, and we just see image after image after image of some animal sitting in a cage in their own congealed vomit, feces, or blood. And it's all for the sake of yet another toothpaste or a pesticide that's going to give us cancer. So around the world, in 15 different countries, SHAC, Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty, has mobilized a campaign that's very different than most campaigns for animal rights activism and for any sort of activism. And instead of standing outside the lab every day, showing the workers that come in and out, you know, the horrific pictures of their own dirty work, we've taken those same pictures, those same protesters, and our passion, and instead, we're going outside the companies that Huntington needs to survive, but are companies that don't need Huntington. And one by one, some of the world's biggest financial institutions, from HSBC, the world's second largest bank, to Charles Schwab, E-Trade, Merrill Lynch, and a number of pharmaceutical companies, and even Huntington's own suppliers, from the janitors to the cafeteria workers, have all cut their ties with this lab, decimating the value of the company by over 90% in the last 3 years and leaving it teetering on the brink of collapse. And that's where we are today. In 15 different countries, Shaq is now going after Huntington's last line of support, the revenue. Those customers that pay to have these animals tortured and killed inside this lab. Chiron has been a major supporter in the past, and that's one of the reasons that protesters have been outside their offices and now essentially putting explosives outside their offices, too.
I'm sort of a devil's advocate question. I looked at the Huntington Life Sciences website, and this is what it says. No one wants to use animals unnecessarily or to cause them unnecessary suffering. The guiding principles in animal research today are called the three R's. Refinement, to make sure animals suffer as little as possible. Reduction, to minimize the number of animals used. Replacement, to replace animal procedures with non-animal techniques wherever possible. Maybe you can respond to that, and then I'll ask you maybe if you can also talk about some of the alternatives that are you know, the possibilities of alternatives besides using animals for testing.
Sure. We've been hearing this spin for decades now. These people that talk about the three R's, the reducement, the refinement, and the replacement, are the same people that do the animal research. This is a PR spin for them. And all the decades they've been going on and on about reducing the number of animals used, every single year the number of animals used goes up. It's nothing but a PR stunt for them. And I have a hard time believing any of these people actually care about animals. It's like Eichmann from the gentleman that made the trains run on time, who would always go on and on about how he has Jewish friends and this is just a job to him. This isn't a job. These people, every day, 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, go in, they torture and they kill animals. They slowly pump little dogs full of poison until they get sick, until they vomit, they study it, and then they butcher them. It's disgusting. These beagle dogs, out of all the different animals, out of all the different dogs that they could use, they use beagles primarily because of their gentle nature, because they're passive. They're good. They won't bite you no matter what you do. They prey upon those vulnerabilities. It's like picking on a small child. So we have a hard time accepting anything these animal researchers say. They're doing this because there's money in it. Say a company like Monsanto has a new pesticide they want to put on the market. In order to get that pesticide on the market, they have to prove it's safe to the FDA and the USDA. So they'll go to a company like Huntington. Huntington will test that pesticide on woodchucks, and they'll test them on monkeys. And whichever test shows the pesticide to be safe, because all different, you can test anything safe if you test it on the right animal, that test will be published. Monsanto will get its approval. That pesticide goes on the market. And say 10 years down the line, you or I could prove that we got cancer from eating an apple that had that pesticide sprayed on it. We try to sue Monsanto. They're going to throw their hands up in the air, and they're going to say, well, hey, how are we supposed to know? It was tested safe on animals. You can't sue us. It's all a scam. If you really want real science, which we do, we're not anti-science, just we want to see resources, time, money, diverted from this barbaric and archaic form of research, put into the alternatives. Like you were saying, there is a plethora of alternatives. Shaq works with organizations that consist of doctors, scientists, and researchers that are opposed to vivisection for scientific reasons, not just for ethical, but for scientific reasons. They're composed of researchers that used to do animal testing but have turned their back on it because they see it as fraudulent, and they want to see human health advance, and that can only happen by using alternatives to animals.
And why is it, you mentioned that financial reasons are a primary motivation for HLS, but isn't it possible that they themselves could get into some of this alternative science that you're describing?
There's no incentive for them to do it because of their customer base, and it's my personal opinion that a lot of their customer base, these pharmaceutical companies, these pesticide companies, we all love companies like Monsanto and Dow and DuPont. These companies really don't actually care about human health. All they care about is turning a quick buck. And if they really wanted to test their products safely, they wouldn't use animals. That's the entire reason they do use animal research. It's because they don't care what the end result is. They just care what it looks like so they can get the approval.
And then why target just one lab, HLS? Because they're the biggest? Or, I mean, shouldn't... I mean, I guess, wouldn't it be, I guess, more... I don't know where I'm going with this. Why HLS? I mean, why not the whole vivisection industry?
Huntington was a strategic choice because five times people have gone in there and filmed horrific animal cruelty and fraudulent science. And we realized that we had an opportunity to prey upon a vulnerability. This is a company riddled with scandal. We had an opportunity to prey upon that vulnerability and to shut it down, to set an example to animal abusing companies everywhere that although you may have the politicians in your right pocket and the media in your left pocket, you still have to answer to the people. We are not powerless, and all social change truly has come from the grassroots ethic of people taking the action themselves, and that's what Shack is about. It's about recognizing that if we want to achieve animal rights and animal liberation, it's going to be an incremental fight, step by step, victory by victory. If we have to go one lab at a time, then that's what we'll do. Huntington will be the first to go. It'll be that first domino that goes down that'll push down a number of other companies that have similar scandals. It'll teach people all around the world how you can be a better activist, no matter what your cause is, if it's environmental causes, animal rights causes, social justice causes. It's about recognizing that our opposition, these companies, they're not just huge corporate towers, and they're not just monolithic companies with big corporate logos. They don't kill animals. They don't destroy the earth. People do. There are people behind those logos, decision makers, that have vulnerabilities and that have home addresses. And it's about time we start holding them accountable.
Mm-hmm. I'm speaking tonight with Kevin Jonas. He's a spokesperson for Shack USA, Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty. And he joins me by telephone from Shack's offices in New Jersey. I want to move into sort of a discussion about some of the tactics that are used to target some of these, some of the backers of HLS. Right now, I guess the company is pronounced Chiron.
Mm-hmm.
Chiron. There's been a campaign against this company who is based in Emeryville, which is just a bit north of Santa Cruz. Maybe you can touch upon some of these tactics. I guess I was reading today's San Francisco Chronicle, and it mentions that on Wednesday, the company was targeted by email. 2,000 employees received email warnings to be on the lookout and take precautions against possible acts of terrorism by activists opposed to animal testing, according to the paper. And then there's been other incidents where Chiron company employees have had their homes vandalized, their cars vandalized, etc. Talk about some of these controversial tactics that are used by the animal rights movement and how you see that as being successful.
First of all, you have to realize that the controversial tactics get all the attention. 95% of the things that goes on in the campaign to shut down Huntington Life Sciences consist of publicity stunts, letter writing, editorials, meetings, showing videos, talking to the press, giving lectures, being out on the campaign trail and really trying to affect social change through the prescribed methods of social change. But there is an element, too, just like there is in all historical social justice struggles, of illegal activity designed at pressuring companies and people and populations to make a choice between compassion and between injustice. And with the campaign against Huntington, just as we've seen letter writing and protests and people making phone calls, you also see direct action. You see civil disobedience, people blockading themselves inside the offices of companies like Chiron, and you see people going to the homes and pulling pranks and stunts and erecting mock cemeteries in the front yards of executives to demonstrate to them and represent all the animals they're paying to have killed. You know, you see Chiron executives have rotten fruit thrown on their doorstep to send home that message that vivisection stinks. You better think again about sponsoring cruelty at Huntington Life Sciences. A number of tactics are used. From the Shack USA has a position that we full-heartedly support the Animal Liberation Front, nonviolent direct action of the Animal Liberation Front. We view it no differently than other historical struggles. We view it no differently than Harriet Tubman freeing over 300 slaves from the South, and she was a terrorist for her Underground Railroad. We view it no differently than how the revolution in this country was ignited on an act of economic sabotage as the celebrators of the Boston Tea Party hurled crates into Boston Harbor. We look at Nelson Mandela, the greatest political statesman of our time, who just, a decade ago was considered a terrorist, sat in jail facing a life sentence for his part in the overthrow of the apartheid government in South Africa for starting a revolutionary army. All social movements use all the tools in the toolbox. there's a time and a place for every action, and that's up for each group and each movement to determine, and that's why Shack USA will not censor and will not condemn those whose real intention is to end injustice and to help shut down Huntington Life Sciences.
Clearly, after 9/11, there has been sort of a campaign by the federal government to go after so-called domestic terrorists, and these animal liberation activities and the Earth Liberation Front activities, the firebombings, the explosions, those kinds of sort of more borderline violent activities. I mean, one can make the argument that life and limb and property could be harmed. Clearly, there's definitely an escalation of repression coming down from the federal government, and maybe you can talk about some of that. We had on this program a few months ago Lindsay Parme, an above-ground animal rights activist who had been taken to the grand jury there in New Jersey, as one example. Maybe you can go a little further with that. What other kinds of repression have you experienced?
There's 7 ongoing grand juries across the country. These are draconian grand juries where if you go before it and you don't answer your questions, you go to jail, as we saw with Lindsay Parm. They don't allow you your First and Fifth Amendment rights. They force you to answer personal questions about who you live with, your personal relationships. They are invasive. They are unconstitutional. We've seen about 6 homes being raided of animal rights activists that are not convicted of any crimes, not being investigated, but have had their homes raided, computers taken by the FBI. I think you see a spike in radical activity when the level of repression on normal civil dissent becomes increased. The last time we saw, the most recent time we saw such a spike in direct action was in the 60s, when you had J. Edgar Hoover and his COINTELPRO FBI tactics, when you had the corruption of the Nixon administration. Well, we see that paralleled today with the fascist, that is John Ashcroft, with the Bush administration, which is so full of lies and corruption. People in our country today, I think by and large, a lot of social justice activists and animal rights activists feel that their voice is being silenced. That no matter what they do, if they go through all the prescribed avenues of social change, they will not only be met with opposition, but with defeat. Because we live within a system where social change is not possible by simply voting. Democracy is a joke in this country. If it were alive and well, George Bush wouldn't be our president. The media is owned by Fortune 500 companies, which controls public policy. When you see these things, when you see such corruption and lies and deceit, what choices do activists have if they truly believe in their cause? This makes us reminiscent of that old JFK slogan, those who make peaceful revolution impossible make violent revolution inevitable. And that's truly what we're seeing. There's an escalation going on here. Regardless of whether Shaq supports it or not, or whether you support it or not, you're going to see an escalation in radical activism because social change through legal activism is becoming quenched.
Do you think that some of those sort of more radical actions turn away potential activists, or do you think it's kind of bringing more people in, or do you think it doesn't have any effect at all?
It's hard for me to say. It may do a little bit of both. It may inspire a lot of people that are so fed up with the injustices in this country, but then mainstream America, who's so addicted to, you know, reality TV and their soap operas, may not care. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what Joe Public thinks, because Joe Public's going to sit on his ass regardless if he agrees with us or not. That's why radical action does work. That's why the Animal Liberation Front, no matter what a bad rap they have, continues to be one of the most successful and effective elements of the animal rights movement.
Again, I'm speaking with Kevin Jonas, spokesperson for Shack, Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty, who has a campaign targeting Huntington Life Sciences. Maybe we can end a little bit on some of the more recent successes that your group has kind of been sort of responsible for. I'm looking at some information that was sent to me that Merck, Wacker, KOS Pharmaceuticals, and others have recently made official statements to your group saying that they will no longer use HLS. Maybe you can touch upon that, and then we can end with some contact info.
That's right. Every company, before we start protest activity against them, is contacted. we reach out for them and try to communicate with them. We offer to set up meetings to show them all the undercover investigation footage into Huntington. We want to show them the 600 times HLS has been in violation of good laboratory practice laws. We offer to set up meetings with researchers and doctors that are opposed to animal testing at Huntington for scientific reasons. We offer to fly in university ethicists and people that have worked inside of Huntington and can testify to the animal cruelty in there. And when we get a cold shoulder from a company like Chiron or from Wacker or from Merck, that's when protest activity starts. And protest activity continues until they capitulate. And we've seen some of the world's biggest financial institutions, major pharmaceutical companies, and everything right down to, as I said before, janitorial suppliers, all capitulate to our animal rights pressure. It comes from the phone calls, the letters, the protests, and the direct action. It's the every tool in the toolbox approach. And that's why it is successful. And it's because it's so widespread that the FBI and the authorities and the lawsuits cannot stop the activism, because it's not being done by one group or a group of individuals. It's being done by people in every state across the country and in 15 different countries across the world.
And Shaq, you're the president, I guess, of Shaq, or the spokesperson?
Yes.
You're based in New Jersey, but are there sort of cells around the country? Or?
We don't have cells. We're not an underground organization. Okay. Shaq is based out of New Jersey. Our contact details are, it's a P.O. Box, 22398, Philadelphia, PA, 19110. The best way to get in touch with us is to go to our website, Shaq, S-H-A-C, America.net. Our phone number is 609-936-8422. The best way to get involved in the campaign is to visit the website, sign up for the free newsletter that comes out six times a year, get on the email action alert list where you get an email every week telling you about what's going on across the country, or look at our website or ask us who's in your area that's doing protest activity against Huntington Life Sciences, a customer, a supplier, a supporter, and we'll put you in touch with them. Everybody's voice is needed in this, and this is our mantra. You know, it takes more than just sending a $10 check every month to a group, a national animal rights group. We can't buy animal liberation. We have to fight for it, and we have to win it. So I hope you can get involved.
All right. I appreciate your time tonight, Kevin Jonas, spokesperson for Shaq.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And that's going to wrap it up for us tonight here on Rockin' the Boat. I was speaking with Kevin Jonas, spokesperson for Shaq, Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty. Once again, their website, Shaq, S-H-A-C, America.net. That's going to wind it up for us for another edition of Rockin' the Boat. Join me again Monday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. right here at Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Stay tuned.